Everybody, it's Dr. Ray Heinisch. I'd like to welcome you to Cut the Fat Podcast. I'm joined here in the studio with Blythe Ahlberg. Hey, Blythe.
Hey, Ray. How's it going?
Great, great. Are you ready to do a little bit of podcasting here?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I've been looking forward to it.
Well, in today's podcast, we're going to go back to the basics, go back to the fundamentals, the wax on, wax off techniques of fat loss, right?
Okay. Yeah, everybody's got to know what that means, the wax on, wax off, the basics.
Right. You know, it reminds me of when I was a kid back in the 80s and I was listening or watching the movie The Karate Kid, you know? And if you haven't seen the movie, you need to go and get it, obviously.
The original, yes, right, with Mr. Miyagi.
The original. He can't go to some of these remakes. It just doesn't make sense to me. It's like remaking Dirty Dancing. What are you doing? Missing with perfection.
I know. You know, The Karate Kid was one of the first movies that I think that I was totally immersed in. It probably had to do with my age, but it was a great movie of its time. And it really teaches some of the basic fundamentals for life. So I think we can all, when we watch that movie, relate to it to some degree.
Right. In a nutshell, this skinny, wimpy kid by the name of Daniel, or Daniel-san, as Miyagi
Daniel-san.
Would call him, meets up or finds this guru who was Mr. Miyagi, and he asks Mr. Miyagi to teach him karate after he gets beat up by a bunch of boys. Mm-hmm. So Mr. Miyagi says, okay, I will teach you karate. So he says, but before I do, you have to do something for me. He says, I need you to paint this fence. So he has Daniel-san painting the fence up and down. He's like, paint up, paint down, paint up, paint down. And then after that, after he gets done painting the fence, he has him wax his car. And he teaches him how to
wax the cars.
Right, how to wax the car properly. Wax on, wax off. You know, one hand on, the other hand off. So eventually Daniel-san gets all kinds of frustrated because he's not teaching him any kind of karate, and instead Mr. Miyagi's just having him do all his work.
Right.
So finally he gets angry, and Mr. Miyagi says, Daniel-san, paint on, and he throws a punch at Daniel-san, and he paints on and blocks the punch. He says, paint mm-hmm. off. He throws another punch. Wax on, wax off. And so basically, by teaching him the fundamentals of painting a fence or waxing a car, he taught him how to do the fundamentals and the basics, or how to master the basics of karate. So then he could defend himself, and he ends up going on and winning the championship and so forth, right?
And that's our goal for all of our listeners out there, is we want to teach you guys the basics, the fundamentals, so you can apply them to your life.
Right. Sometimes we get caught up, and I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, when are you going to give us the advanced tactic, the advanced weight loss techniques? And it's a little bit frustrating. I ain't going to lie, because what does that mean anyway? You know, to us here in America, advanced usually means complicated or complex. And I think with weight loss, people are looking for complicated, complex, when simple and easy will do.
Simple and easy works. And in fact, it's the building blocks for applying anything that you might feel might be the next step in your journey, you know, maybe the next advanced tactic you want to learn, but you've got to know the building blocks.
So one of the building blocks is consuming foods that are very low on the energy density scale. So today we're going to really answer the question is, can eating fruits and vegetables actually help you to improve your fat loss efforts? Okay. Sometimes we get caught up in weight loss, right, Blythe? We get caught up in removing stuff.
Yes.
That, quote unquote, makes us fat. But in reality, sometimes it's about adding stuff in that makes us healthy so that the fat kind of takes care of itself.
Right. Now, this requires a little bit of a perspective change when, you know, most people think about, well, I'm going to clean up my diet. I'm going to take out this. I'm going to take out that. And instead, where you really should be starting is adding water into your diet, adding healthy foods. And by doing that, you're going to get rid of some of the unhealthy choices that you may be, you know, having in your diet right now.
So let's talk a little bit about energy density and volume. So what we want to do is we want to start adding foods into our diet that are high volume, low density.
Okay. Which would, for an example, would be, let's mention a high density food. A high density food would be like butter or bacon, mm-hmm. something that's got a ton of calories, but it's a tiny piece of food.
Right, cookies, crackers, things mm-hmm. like that.
Okay.
So, you know, if we're looking at it from a scientific perspective, how they look at energy density within the research literature, generally speaking, we look at it through something called calories per gram. Okay, so a high energy density food would have 4 to 9 calories per gram of weight. Okay, as we mentioned, those are things like crackers and cookies and high-fat foods like butter and bacon. Medium energy density foods would have 1.5 to 4 calories per gram of weight. Mm-hmm. These would be things like hard-boiled eggs are medium density, dried fruit, medium density, bagels, broiled lean sirloin steak, hummus, grape jelly, whole wheat bread, part skim mozzarella. Mm-hmm. Okay. And all these are coming directly from the CDC's website. And then we have low energy density foods, and those would have 0.7 to 1.5 calories per gram.
Okay.
And then very low density foods would be 0 to 0.6 calories per gram. And, you know, things that would be low to very low density would be things like tomatoes, cantaloupe, broth-based soups, mm-hmm. fat-free cottage cheese, a favorite of yours, fat-free yogurt, strawberries, broccoli, turkey breast with no skin. Mm-hmm. Most fresh fruits and vegetables fall basically into this low to very low density food.
So you feel like you're getting a larger, or you actually are getting a larger volume of food,
right.
but you're getting less calories per gram. That makes a lot of sense.
But you know, what you said was actually quite accurate, Blythe. You feel like you're getting a larger quantity of food. Mm-hmm. The truth of the matter is a lot of people believe that it's the calories in the food that determine satiety, which is basically how full you feel, right?
Okay, from the amount of calories that you've ingested.
Right. But the science is pretty clear. It's not the amount of calories that determines how satiated or how much satiety you feel from a meal. It's the volume of the food, how much actual food that you consume. Okay. And we've said in the past that it takes, and this is what the research is suggesting, it takes about 3 to 5 pounds worth of food per day for the body to feel satisfied.
Okay.
So let's assume that let's assume that an average is 4 pounds, okay? 4 pounds of food in order to feel satisfied. If we were to consume that in the form of non-starchy vegetables, 4 pounds of vegetables would contain about 400 calories, okay?
Okay.
4 pounds of fruit would contain about 1,000 calories.
Okay.
4 pounds of whole grains or legumes would contain 1,600 calories. And get this, 4 pounds of Fruity Pebbles would consume, would count as 10,000 calories.
Oh my, well, I know Fruity Pebbles used to be a favorite of yours.
Yeah.
Maybe not by choice, right? But when you were a kid. But you compare that to the choices that you can make today. Say 4 pounds of fruit, that's a lot of fruit, Ray.
It's a tremendous amount of fruit.
Imagine how full you would feel. Say you were to sit down and eat any one of those in one sitting. Okay, any one of those, from the legumes to the Fruity Pebbles to the fruits and vegetables. Imagine eating that much. You would feel more full from the fruits and vegetables than you would from the Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, by far. Mm-hmm. And that's the big problem, is that you're going to get 4 pounds of food in your diet one way or the other. Now, that 4 pounds can either be 1,000 calories from fruit and vegetables or 10,000 calories from Fruity Pebbles. But your body has a price, and that price is 4 pounds of food every day.
Okay, so that's a huge golden nugget right there. I think that will resonate with a lot of people right now.
So I guess the question is, does it pan out? Okay. What does the research literature suggest? Does eating high volume food actually result in improved weight loss, or at least in eating fewer calories? And the research is pretty clear that yes, in fact, it does. There's, you know, I can't say that there's a tremendous amount of research out there surrounding this topic. We should certainly do more research on it. But as it stands right now, we have enough to be able to draw the conclusion that at least Eating high volume foods does cause us to eat less food. Now, whether or not that's going to result in long-term lasting weight loss, evidence suggests that it will, but we're not entirely 100% sure yet.
Right, but it will point you in the right direction. So being aware of the foods you're choosing and making sure you're choosing the lower density foods, you know, the caloric density, the lower right. on the end of the spectrum, on the lower end of the spectrum, you'll be making wiser choices toward your weight loss goals.
Right. Directly from this report from the CDC, here's a small excerpt. Said many people believe that consuming high-calorie foods will make them feel full. But a study by Duncan and colleagues provided contrary evidence in their study. 20 obese and non-obese participants ate as much as they wanted over 5 days from a diet that alternated between low energy density and high energy density foods. On the low energy density diet, the participants fell full with just over half the calories they needed to feel full on the high energy density diet.
Wow.
Okay, so here's a study where researchers came out and they said they put both obese and non-obese people on one of two diets, a high energy diet or a low energy density diet. And what they found was when they were eating the low energy density diet, people were satiated, where mm-hmm. they felt full with about half the number of calories.
And for obese people, you're going to instantly begin to lose if when you cut those amount of calories from your diet.
Right. You know, you and I both know that there are really two groups of people. Either there's a group of people who eat too much, and because of that, they put on weight. Mm-hmm. And then there's a group of people that eat too little, and because of that, they don't lose weight. Right.
They don't lose. Yes, they either maintain or they, you know, fluctuate right around that same line. But it's very difficult for those people to lose.
Right. They lose weight, but they don't lose fat.
Right.
So when you lower calories, it's important that you increase the volume of food, because that's one way in which the body knows that there is plenty of nutrition around, that you're not in an environment of famine. And so it doesn't matter which group you fall into. If you eat too little or you eat too much, this approach of adding more fruits and vegetables to the diet can have significant impacts on the fat loss.
You know, there was a study that you sent to me on this as well about the milkshakes, and I thought that was really interesting. The milkshakes that contained a little more air. And then the milkshakes, you know, so the volume of the milkshake, if you imagine a 200 milliliter milkshake versus a 600 milliliter milkshake, and one just incorporates a little more fiber and air, which one are you probably not going to finish? They both contain the same amount of calories, but the 600 milliliter milkshake is going to satiate you sooner than the 200 milliliter.
Right. A lot of you have already found this when you're making your shakes. If you put the protein powder in before you blend the shake, mm-hmm. it has a tendency to froth up and get more airy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I have a tendency to add the protein after I've blended the rest of the shake down, because that way I can make the shake as airy as I want it to.
Mm-hmm.
But when they did that, when they gave people the same number of calories in a shake, the only difference was they aired one of them out. They found that people ate less when they were given the option of eating as much food as they want.
I think that's really, really neat. And I think that's something that people here can try.
Yeah, if you blend your smoothies, just try frothing them up a bit. And mm-hmm. you'll find that it'll satiate you longer.
And a lot of times, if just adding ice and things like that also makes a shake more dense. That's just a quick little tip.
And another thing is spinach. We've talked about this in the past. Just adding
yes.
a handful of spinach gives you a little bit more fiber. It makes it a little bit more viscous of a shake.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really change the flavor too much.
And it helps you get a serving of greens in.
Absolutely. So you get the phytochemicals, the yes. things that provide health to the body.
Absolutely.
Okay, another study. Bell et al., three groups mm-hmm. of women were provided meals and an evening snack for 2 days. One group followed a low-calorie menu, the second a medium-calorie menu, and the third a high-calorie menu. The three menus were similar, except that more vegetables were offered in the medium and the low-calorie menus to reduce their overall caloric content. The researchers found that women in each group ate a similar amount of food.
That brings us back to the whole 4-pound rule.
Right. So it's not the calories. It's the volume that determines whether or not you eat more.
You know, our brains play funny tricks on us when it comes to, and maybe our stomachs too, but it's that feeling of being full. It's not the number of calories.
That is very true. Yep. And you know what? One of the number one reasons why people abandon their program, whatever weight loss program that is, mm-hmm. is because they're hungry. If we can fix that seems to be the first thing we have to fix with people. We have to get them out of that state of hunger, and then we can start dealing with other things like cravings and exercise and so forth.
But if you can get rid of that, it makes weight loss less, or fat loss, less uncomfortable. You know, losing weight doesn't have to be uncomfortable. We're trying to teach our listeners how to make this the most comfortable process and make it doable. You know, it really is doable for everybody.
Very much so. And as we mentioned, it usually starts with adding, not subtracting. Mm-hmm. And then let the adding of these low-density foods cause you to naturally subtract some of the other foods because you're just not hungry.
That's right.
You know, another study looked at soup. This was a mm-hmm. fairly interesting study in that we had basically the same ingredients, okay? They offered people, let me just read this excerpt. On day one, they were served a chicken rice casserole. On day two, a chicken rice casserole with a glass of water. Mm-hmm. On the third day, they gave chicken rice soup. Basically, they took the same ingredients from the chicken casserole, just turned it into a soup.
Okay.
Okay? Serving size was 1.5 cups for the casserole and 2.5 cups for the soup. Eating the soup, even though the ingredients were the same and the calories were the same, eating the soup significantly increased the feeling of fullness and reduced the participants' hunger, also significantly reducing the number of calories the women consumed during lunch. So when you take the same ingredients as you would put on a plate and turn it into a soup, you actually – You get more volume, and because of that, you'll eat less later on. It means that the signals of satiety last longer than if the ingredients were eaten on a plate, basically, in the form
of
a casserole.
So simple. Simple.
Very, very simple. So other things, fruit can be very satiating for people. Mm-hmm. Whole mm-hmm. apples, which contain 2.9% fiber, were associated with higher satiety ratings than was apple puree or fiber-free apple juice.
So right. Again, when you make a juice out of anything, the fiber is automatically extracted, or most of the fiber is extracted from the fruit.
That is true. In addition, you're going to be changing the volume by pureeing it. And basically, if I were to take an apple and hand it to you and compare it to one apple pureed, the volume decreases, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, the average apple is 25% air. And that air also matters, just like water, just like fiber matters, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. as we showed through the experiment on the shakes.
Right. Well, if you think of a bowl of like fruit salad, say you cut up a bunch of cantaloupe, watermelon, blueberries, strawberries, some pineapple, you take that entire bowl of fruit, which you probably couldn't eat in one sitting without making yourself ill. But if you dump that all in a juicer, you could drink it in probably a 6 to 8 ounce glass.
That's
right.
So
the importance of eating foods as whole plays a large factor.
Absolutely. And I think it bears mentioning again that adding high volume foods is a separate issue than removing high energy density foods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In one study that was published in 2001 by Epstein and colleagues, they took a bunch of families and they put them into one of two groups. One group was given a comprehensive behavioral weight control program where they were instructed to basically cut back on fat and sugar and starches. And the other group was basically given the same program, but they were also encouraged to eat more fruits and vegetables. At the end of 1 year, the parents in the fruit and vegetable group had significantly greater decreases in weight than the parents in the decreased fat and sugar group. Furthermore, the parents and the children in the increased fruit and vegetable group had decreased their consumption of high fat and high sugar foods naturally.
You know what I think is really cool about that is because they had somewhere to turn, because they were given the little nudge of, well, if you're going to cut these things out, here is what you should reach for. Do you think it's because they were given where to go, like being pointed in a direction of a replacement for those types of foods, rather than just being told you can't eat these things or you should minimize these things.
Right. That just promotes a vacuum in mm-hmm. their life that needs to be filled with something. And eventually what ends up filling it are the very same things that we tried to eliminate.
There you go.
So, you know, I don't know how many ways we can tell people to eat more fruits and vegetables and high volume food, but I think we pretty much pounded that one into their heads.
You know, I think we have. And I really hope people remember that it's not just about the weight loss. It's about being healthy, too. And, you know, it's been proven time and time again that incorporating more fiber, getting enough water in your diet is super, super important, not just for your weight health, but for your overall health. I mean, you know, heart disease, cholesterol issues, people have all of these issues that could be minimized by just getting more natural, healthy fruits and vegetables into their diets.
Right. Absolutely. And I did write down a few bullet points here, and I'd like to go through them just to kind of help people get a little bit more direction here as well.
Okay.
Number one is, it's important to note that overweight and obese folks produce less of a neurotransmitter called PYY, or peptide YY, which basically blunts satiety and decreases the pleasure signals associated with food. So if you're overweight or obese, you're going to have a tendency to eat more food simply because the signals aren't being triggered even when you eat the right foods. So just be patient with this. You're going to have to muscle through it for a while until the body and the brain can kind of reconnect. And so the brain knows that you're consuming lots of good food.
Right.
So it's especially important for people who are overweight to eat one of the most satiating foods of all, and that is, of course, protein. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why protein is so important, especially when you're overweight or obese, is because it actually causes more of this peptide YY to be produced in the brain. So that also will help to control the satiety signals within your brain so that you'll eat less naturally. So you can't just focus on fruits and vegetables. You've got to be also especially good about adding more protein to the mix, which, by the way, if you're eating lean sources of protein, are also considered high volume, low density foods.
I'm so glad you said that because, as you know, I'm a huge protein advocate. You know, the by doing all of these things, we can all sort of reset our hormones and get back to a place where we can actually trust our hunger signals.
Right. And it's also important to also mention that fruit is sometimes villainized. We sometimes are guilty of that as well, because mm-hmm. I do know some people that eat way too much fruit. Basically, they get rid of starches and sugars from other sources, and then they just eat a ton of fruit. And it can interfere with weight loss when it's consumed on top of other starchy foods mm-hmm. and higher fat foods, right?
Right. Fruit does contain more sugar, generally speaking, than vegetables. So that's why we say fruit and vegetables. Maybe we should say vegetables and fruits.
But the research does suggest that fruits can be helpful, especially in the beginning. It is an improvement to go from a regular Snickers bar or an Oreo McFlurry from McDonald's mm-hmm. to eating a couple of apples or a couple of oranges. It's a significant improvement. And, you know, for example, there's been specifically research done with apples and with plums, for example. Mm-hmm. And plums are far more satiating than, let's say, a bagel. And part of that has to do with the impact that the fiber in the water has on certain hormones within the body. Mm-hmm. For example, apples can increase the amount of a compound called GLP-1 or GLP-1, and that increases satiety. So there are hormonal reactions to vegetables and fruits, and we can't ignore that fact. So fruits do have a place in a healthy weight loss program. Just don't eat more fruits than vegetables. Try to really load up on vegetables.
That's a good rule. Don't eat more fruits than vegetables.
Right.
Very simply put. Thank you. That was great.
Sure. Viscous foods are more satiating than low viscous foods. Mm-hmm. That's why soups are so satiating. So we want to really focus on the viscosity of the food that we're consuming as well. Dry foods are oftentimes a bad bet. And I can give you a perfect example of this one. You have to eat four times more potato chips, or calories from potato chips mm-hmm. to feel satiated compared to boiled or pureed potatoes. All right, so same ingredient, but because one is dried, mm-hmm. you have to eat four times as much of it.
That makes a lot of sense. And I don't know that people have ever looked at potato chips in that light.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And finally, you eat 70% more food or more calories when you're distracted by things like TV, family, deep conversations, and friends. So you got to be careful. You know, eating slowly is important, but being present at the meal also is important. So you want to make sure that you're not being distracted when you're eating, because that will cause you to consume more unwanted calories.
Right. We've talked about mindful eating before, enjoying every bite, being aware while you're eating.
That's right.
That's very important to remember.
And those are all of my bullet points. You have any specific tips and tricks that you can give people before we hit the road?
You know, I did. I kind of threw out, I guess my big golden nugget, I kind of threw it in the middle of the podcast. Adding air is something that I use, even for my kids. I've got a couple of little boys, most of you know, and they really will eat me out of house and home. Now, one of them is naturally very lean, and the other one, my youngest one, who is five now, isn't genetically predisposed to being as lean. Now, they eat the same foods, they eat the same amount of foods, because I ration their foods at this age. But if I'm not trying to manipulate their diet yet, but I find that if I, say I make a breakfast smoothie with fruits and a little bit of spinach and things like that, if I aerate it, that helps them not feel as hungry as soon. So I use those tricks on myself too. You know, to get in enough calories and feel full, I will blend my shakes just like you and I had talked about before. And adding ice is another thing, maybe for like a dessert. My kids are notorious for wanting dessert. Well, if I make a smoothie or even like a chocolate mousse, you can add in a little bit of ice or whip it and add some air to it to make it fluffier, for lack of a better word. But the fluffier it is, the more full they feel and the more satiated. That's just a little tip.
Great tips. And I also point out that fiber is so hugely important here. Now, we've kind of talked about fiber indirectly, because any high-volume food that's natural, high-volume, low-density food that's natural, has a tendency to have fiber and water. And those are fiber, water, and air are the three magic ingredients, mm-hmm. right? Because they don't add calories or significant calories to whatever you're eating.
But they help add, with the satiety, yes.
Right, they do impact. Add volume. And if we look at the typical fiber intake of our Paleolithic ancestors, they consumed about 100 grams of fiber per day. The average North American eats about 15 grams of fiber. And the recommended quantity of fiber that the government suggests is about 25 grams.
Mm-hmm. Which is a quarter of what our ancestors ate.
Right. And the Calorie Restriction Society, which is a group of people who eat very low calorie but very high volume foods, they consume on average about 75 grams of fiber per day. So okay. It's important that we really start to eat high fiber foods and make sure that that fiber is coming from vegetation rather than from grains.
I was going to say, the simplest way to do that is start adding vegetables and fruits.
Right. And as I've said, you know, I eat my salads out of a serving bowl. Mm-hmm. And I recommend people do the same, like a party bowl, like the kind of bowl that you would serve chips in is what you should be eating your salads out of.
Okay, that's a great place to start.
All right, well, that's all I got.
Hey, that was a great podcast, Ray. I think there were some great golden nuggets in there, and I think our listeners will appreciate it.
All right, well, great. So I guess we'll see you guys at the next podcast. Blythe, it's been great.
Yeah, we'll see you soon, Ray. Guys, don't forget to check out our Cut Fat podcast on iTunes and rate us. Ray and I do go in and read all of those ratings. We hope you give us 5 stars. Also, if you haven't found us on Facebook yet, Cut the Fat podcast, one long word, no spaces in between. Join our Facebook page. We put recipes, pictures, motivating things on there. Ray put up a really cool chart the other day that has to do with what we're talking about today. So go back and check out our Facebook page. And don't forget, you can also find our podcast online, www.cutthefatpodcast.com. We've got a really cool blog spot. We've got some recipes on there and whatnot. We want you guys to check us out and share us with your friends.
Excellent. All right, great. We'll see you guys here at the next Cut the Fat podcast.
Bye, guys.